Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Mate, didn't Niall do an awesome job leading the worship there, eh? Where's Niall? Niall, mate, that was brilliant, mate. That was so good. So let's really encourage him, shall we? We've started a series over the next couple of months called Life in the Spirit. Last week, Pastor Colin kicked that series off and did a bit of an overview. Started with what it means to be born of the Spirit, and then what does it mean to be baptized in the Spirit, and then did a little bit of an overview of what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. So we're going to carry on with that this morning. Pastor Colin and Caroline are over in Crawley, the congregation there this morning. What we're doing through this current kind of series is on a particular Sunday, we'll bring a message here. Then the following Sunday, whoever has brought the message here is going over there to bring the message there, so that both congregations are getting the same word, the same flow, the same input over these, well, from now on. We might not do it that way all the time, but that's what we're going to do for the next 9 or 10 weeks or so. So Pastor Conor and Caroline are over there. So he's bringing the same word that he brought last week here, but over there. And so this week I'm bringing the word we're going to look at today, and then I'll be over there next week doing that there, and it'll kind of work like that for a bit. So as we go forward with one church, two locations, becoming three in the autumn, there'll be different ways that we bring the word, but the whole church needs the same word so that we're all going in the same direction that God is saying. And because we're one body, but in a number of different places. So that's how it's going to work for this one. And there are a number of other people out on ministry this weekend as well. And the women, there's about 50 ladies that are at Centre Parks. I don't know if any of the lads have heard from their wives, but mine's having a great time, chilling out, relaxing. And my house is very quiet. Megan's away, Jane's away, Toby's not here this weekend. And so I woke up yesterday morning, had a few hours, like I normally do on a Saturday. They all get up a bit later than me. So normally the first couple of hours on Saturday are great. I get up, read, pray, spend some time with the Lord, and then everybody begins to surface. And then the noise begins. But after a couple of hours yesterday morning, there was no noise surfacing anywhere. It was like 10:30 and it's like, I am the only person here. So, great. Now, last week, Pastor Colin began, and I thought it was an awesome word last week that he brought. And he started off just explaining what it means to be born of the Spirit. And when God comes into our lives and the Holy Spirit does that work of salvation, that initial work of salvation. Then he also described what it means to be baptized in the Spirit. So we're born of the Spirit so that we come to know Christ, but then we need the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to enable us to then live in the life that we've been saved into. So he then spoke about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and what that means. Now, we don't want to go over all of those things. If you weren't here last week, I'd really encourage you to have a listen on the website to that message. But once you've been born of the Spirit and then we've been baptized in the Spirit, we are then full of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we heard last week, we need to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we've been born of the Spirit and then we've been baptized in the Spirit, we then want to be led by the Spirit. So just because we might have the Holy Spirit and being full of the Spirit, that doesn't necessarily mean we live in the Spirit or we are led by the Spirit. And so this morning we want to just unpack that so that we kind of understand a bit more in relation to what God's doing. How do we live in the power of the Spirit? How do we live led by the Holy Spirit? And we're going to see, and maybe the Holy Spirit will pinpoint some things in our lives to show us the difference between really what is of the Spirit and what is not in the way that we think or the way we approach life situations in different ways. And I want to use a bit of a practical example to kind of do that with three boxes. which we'll come to in a minute. But I want to just look at the Word for a few minutes, first of all, just to set the scene for what we're going to look at. So I'll read a few scriptures rather than you having to turn to all of them to keep up for a minute. But firstly, John 1, verse 12 to and 13. Yet to all who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So in order to be a person of the Spirit, you've got to be born of the Spirit. When we're born of the Spirit, we become a child of God. So we're adopted into his family. He becomes our Father. So it's a supernatural thing that takes place to enable us to become children of God. But then Jesus talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is Acts 1 verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he wasn't just talking about being a witness in terms of just some evangelism. He basically saying you need the power of my Spirit in your life to live in the same way that I've shown you. And now you're going to need the same Spirit that's been in me, in you, to enable you to live in the same way. And so he'd shown them how to live in the Spirit or be a person of the Spirit. And we're going to come on in other weeks to things like the fruit of the Spirit, the nature and the character of Christ, the gifts of the Spirit, and other things in the next few weeks. Not just for knowledge, but how do we live in the power of these things? How do we live in the good of these things? How do we live in the overflowing life of the Spirit in these things? Then we come to Romans chapter 8. You might want to turn there because we're going to look at a few scriptures. Just read through some of some verses in Romans chapter 8. I love the book of Romans. It's such an awesome book that just continues to help you to live free from the enemy, free from lies, free from rubbish, because it just reminds you of the truth of who God is, what he's done, the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and the life that we've been given. So let's have a look in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 onwards. Those who live according to their own natural desires are always intent on getting what they want for themselves. That is their focus. But those who truly want to please God by being led by his Spirit make him their focus. Sinful thinking leads to spiritual death. But to allow your life to be under the control of the Holy Spirit will result in sharing in God's life and knowing his peace. Sinful thinking is totally against God's will. Such attitudes show there is no submission to him and his purposes. For you cannot serve God while your mind is still full of sinful, selfish thoughts. That would suggest that you are being controlled by your desires, not his. However, this is not the case for you. You are not under the control of the selfish, sinful desires because you have surrendered your life to God to be under the power and the influence of his Spirit who lives in you. It was great, Noel, mate, the way you just flowed in the worship there and the whole surrender part. Because today, to be led by the Spirit means that we need to be surrendered to the Spirit. And we'll come to that in a moment and unpack that a little bit. where are we? La, 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 la. You would not be a Christian at all. This is pretty straight stuff. You would not be a Christian at all if you did not possess the Holy Spirit. But because his Spirit is in you, Christ is in you. Your body may still crave for self-indulgence, yet your spirit has now been brought to life by his Spirit so that in your heart you want to do what is right before God. Now, isn't that the Christian life summed up there in a couple of sentences? There's still stuff in the, and we'll unpack this again in a minute. There's still stuff that says, oh, you know, it's part of me wants to do that. But actually, my spirit's saying, no, I don't want to do that. I want to live like this. And And that's that struggle that goes on. In our hearts, we want to do what is right before God. Okay? The Spirit who lives in you is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. If he could do that, then he is certainly able to give God's life to your natural bodies because his Spirit lives in you. This means that you're no longer obliged to obey your sinful desires. To do that would lead to spiritual death. Now you have God's Spirit in you, enabling you to rule over any lingering sinful desires to indulge your fleshly instincts. So the Spirit enables you to enjoy real life, not death. Isn't it amazing what God's given us in the Holy Spirit? That we haven't got to try and live this in our own efforts. He says, even though you're born again, you still need my Spirit to enable you to live what I've given you in terms of my life. So verse 15, when he came to live in you, he did not lead you back to your past, making you a slave again to fear. No, you receive the Spirit that enables you to live as a son of God. You can call him Father, my Father. The Holy Spirit urges us to remember that we are God's children, to know this deep in our hearts. We have been set free from the enemy. For if we know that we are his children, then we know also that we are his heirs. This is awesome. Yes, we are heirs of God and inherit all the blessings along with Christ. We may have to face cost in being obedient to him, but this is only so that we also may share eternally in his glory. This is brilliant. I love it. Now, what I'm going to do, I've got three boxes that I prepared earlier, along with the help of Claire Duby. And we're not going to look at Kingdom Coffee. We're going to look at some other things. But the Bible talks about us as there's three parts, if you like, to our lives. Okay? Oh, I can't bend down that far. There's three parts to our life. And if we're going to understand how to live by the Spirit, we need to know what goes on the inside of us. Now, I know many of you would have probably heard some of this before in different ways, but in terms of just us surrendering and how do we live surrendered and how do we really allow the Holy Spirit to be Lord of our lives? We're not coming from a point this morning that we're trying to get something from God that we haven't got. We've just read of everything that we've been given, that we are an heir with Christ, and we share that with God. But also in 2 Peter 1, it talks about us having all that we need for life and godliness, that God has given us everything that we need, and he's called us to live for his glory and in his goodness, and that's what he's done and given us. Also, it talks about in John 1, verse 63, the Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. So if God is going to speak to us and lead us by his Spirit, if his word is spirit, then we're only going to be able to be led by the Spirit if we have the Spirit. So we've been born of the Spirit, we've been baptized in the Spirit, and now God wants to lead us by his Spirit. Now, our lives, there's three main parts to our life. Everybody this morning has one of these. Can you see that all right? Everybody's got one of these. Has anybody not got brought theirs this morning with them? Is anybody still in bed, really? But you're kind of... right, okay. Everybody's got a body. And all of us have one of these. A soul. You've got three, two on the bottom of your feet and one inside. But you've got one soul. Obviously, it's spelt differently if you've got one on the bottom of your feet. But your soul is made up of your mind, your emotions and your will. OK, so you've got a soul. But also, every person has one of these. Has a spirit in you. When you are a spiritual being. OK, but when you don't know God, your spirit is not alive to God, okay? So even though you have one of these when you're born, if you don't know Jesus, then your spirit is not alive to God. So when you get born again, the Spirit of God comes into your life and brings you into that saving life. And then when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in your soul in that sense. And the Holy Spirit, yes, he's in your body, but the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. Okay, and we're going to just unpack what it means to be led by the Spirit. Now, so everybody's got one of these. Now, before you come to know Jesus, you have a body and you have a soul. Your spirit is not alive to God, okay? So therefore, your spirit has no impact whatsoever on your soul, on your body. You live in this level of the soul where your mind and your emotions and your will determine how you live. So how you process what goes on in life, how you process what goes on in relationships, under pressure, work environment, whatever you watch on the TV, everything is processed when you don't know God with your mind, your emotions, your will. And then that is expressed through your body. So your actions are dictated to by what is going on in your soul. Now, in the Bible, when you act in this way, your soul expressing your desires through your body, that is obviously separate from the spirit. Because if you're not born again, your spirit's not alive to God. Okay, so let's just put it there for a minute. And so therefore, that independently living from God is called the flesh. Okay, so your soul life is not the flesh on its own. Your soul life is your mind, emotions and will. But when you express that through your body and do whatever you want to do, that's called the flesh. Now, in life, we have a body, we have a soul. We'll come to having a spirit in a minute. Let's put it this way around. You all right keeping up for a minute? Now, the world is this way and God is over here. And so everything going on in the world influences what is going on this way, but also how you live influences, you know, your body and how you express that out in life. Now, God wants to transform our lives before we know him so that we can come to know him. So our spirit comes alive that changes the whole way we are as people. So we heard last week about being born again and then being baptized in the spirit. So when you get baptized in the spirit, or you get born again, you get baptized in the spirit, your spirit comes alive to God. And now God wants everything that's going on in your mind, your emotions and your will and your body to now be influenced and led by what you have received now in your spirit in terms of who he is. So when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we're talking about the nature, the character, the power of God. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the Holy Spirit now wants to work out and manifest through our lives the life of Christ through our souls and then out expressed through our bodies, okay? Now, in your spirit, there's no sin in that sense. Now, we'll come to something a bit later where it does talk about your spirit can be contaminated, but there's no sin in the Holy Spirit. And so he comes to live in you, and in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. Okay, so in order for the mind of Christ to impact our mind, then we have to submit our mind to the mind of the Spirit. So the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 12 that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So if the word, as we've looked at in John 1:63, if it says the Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing, if we live that way, independently from God, this comes to nothing. It leads to death. But when we live surrendered to the Holy Spirit, it leads to life. Now, when God speaks to us, he doesn't speak to our soul or our body. He speaks to our spirit. See, God is spirit. His words are spirit and life. So he speaks into our spirit. The Bible talks about building up your inner man. God doesn't want to build up our soul. Jesus actually says, if you want to come after me, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross to follow me. So actually, in terms of being born again, God doesn't want us, he doesn't want to strengthen your soul life so that that becomes strong. He wants us to deny the soul life, submit it to the Holy Spirit, so that it's the life of the Spirit that then flows through our minds, our emotions and our will, and therefore our body, so that what is expressed through us is the nature and the character of Christ. Okay? So if we have the mind of Christ here, how do we develop the mind of Christ? It's developed through the Word. Because the Word is God's mind, God's thoughts, God's heart, God's will put into words in a book. And so if this is the mind of God, and the Bible says that the Spirit searches the deep things of God and reveals them to us. And so God speaks to us by his word. So the Spirit of God will speak or bear witness to the truth, to God's word, into our spirit. And then where how we approach that is we then say, right, well, my natural thinking doesn't line up with that particular truth or hasn't lined up in that way. So we're transformed by the renewal of our mind. So I'm going to submit my natural thinking to the mind of the Spirit or to the Word and what the Word says. So I'm going to choose now to live according to what the Word says, not what I think. Now, some people in the room naturally are more intelligent than others. Some people have got skills in life that maybe are seen as more valuable or worth more than others. Some people have strong characters or in various ways. There are different strengths and giftings of people in the room. Now, the stronger the gifting or the stronger the intelligence or the more naturally good you are at something, sometimes the more difficult it is to actually surrender to the Spirit. If you think, well, I'm rubbish at that, and you think, okay, Holy Spirit, lead me there because I'm rubbish at it. But sometimes if we're quite intelligent or we're quite good at certain things, it's quite easy to say, well, I'll trust God I'll trust the Holy Spirit when I need to, but these things, I can handle that because I'm good at that. But what does Jesus say? He said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You see, if you act independently from God, this is the self life. You're saying, I can handle this, God. I don't need you here. So I'll only kind of connect with you when I need you. So maybe if we all said, right, this afternoon, we're all going out into town and we're all going to go and witness, evangelize, pray for the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. We're just going to go on mission this afternoon. How many people in the room would suddenly go, Holy Spirit, be Lord of my life today, right now? And if we said nobody can come back until we've seen somebody saved, seen somebody healed, you'd be like, okay, Holy Spirit, I can't do that. I can't do that. So please help me. Right? But maybe there's other things that we do, maybe in work or at home or in different situations, and we think, well, I can handle that. I don't really need to trust the Lord for that. And what we find is if we approach life in the natural, if we approach life in the natural, saying, well, I can handle that because I've got an ability for it, or I've had some experience there, so I'll trust the experience that I've had, and therefore I can be led by my experience and my gifting and my own knowledge. And what you find, when you approach life like that, it might start out in certain situations, well, I can handle that, but actually what happens is you then begin to respond in the natural to people. So that when pressure begins to build, or it doesn't go the way you want it to, or something happens that it challenges you, you're in a work environment and people are not, you know, they come in with an attitude that day. If you approach work and life from this level, then you'll find you'll begin to have soulish reactions to them. You'll begin, actually, this guy's winding me up, you know. And then you find the next thing, you fall out of a bit of an argument or whatever. If you approach parenting from the point of view of, well, I know I'll sit my child down and have a good old chat with him and tell him what's what. Jane and I, over the years, there's been certain things with our kids where we're like, okay, God, we need to see something happen in them. And we ask the Lord what to do, and he's given us, don't tackle it like that, tackle it like this. Okay. Because he knows what's going on in one of my kids' heads more than we do. and what's going on in their heart or their life. And so there's certain, you know, moments where it's like we need to sit down with one of them and we need to have a chat. But if we approach it from here, we're going to get a soulish response and we're going to get a soulish answer. But if we approach something like this, okay, Holy Spirit, we've got an idea of what we need to do at this moment with one of our kids. But Father, we just want to pray now and we want to know, what do you want to do? How do you want to, what outcome do you want? And how do we need to, is there any scripture? Is there anything you want to show us that we're not seeing, that we don't understand? But because you know what's going on in their heart, you know exactly what's going to unlock what they're going through. So Father, we want to know the mind of the Spirit. We want to know what's on your heart, Father, now. We know your heart is for our son or whatever, but there's something you want to do to unlock something or and so a couple of times we've had scriptures in those environments for our kids, and we've gone and we've had a chat and we said, look, mate, as we've been praying for you, and it's good, you know, that your kids know that you're praying for them. Now, some might react to that, but at times. But we said to one of them, look, we've been praying for you. God's given us this scripture, and we believe he just wants to show you something. And that helps to, because it's spirit to spirit then. It's not just us trying to tackle something at this level. So those daily things in our lives, we're saying, Father, I don't want to try and parent in my own effort. I don't want to try and go to work in my own effort. So when we're talking about this, it's not just ministry kind of things. Well, if I've got to lead someone to the Lord, it's got to be the Holy Spirit. Or if I'm going to pray for the sick, it's got to be the Holy Spirit. No, it's how we respond in our lives, how we treat people, how we are. It's the life of the Spirit that we're surrendering our thinking to, our minds to, the mind of the Spirit, the Word of God, the will of God. And we're submitting our minds, but also our emotions. Now, how many of you know emotions go all over the place at times? You know, that doesn't, just because you're having an off day doesn't mean you're emotionally unstable. But emotions kind of do respond to circumstances that go on around us. And one of the things I pray every morning is, Father, I don't want to live by my emotions today. I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not emotional. He won't lead you emotionally in that way. He leads you by the Word. Now, the Holy Spirit has compassion, and the Holy Spirit expresses love. And now you could say they are kind of, you know, but God's love is not actually emotional. God loves from the will. Agape is from the will, not from the emotions. If God's love was from the emotions, okay, then it would do that. And so God's love is agape, which is from the will, from his will. So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We don't deserve that. But because God so loved, and in that those verses talks about love from the will, that he made a choice. No matter whether people are going to reject me or accept me, I am still going to go to the cross, send Jesus to the cross to make it possible for every person to be saved. But yet God knows that not everybody is going to respond. Now, if God did something emotionally, he'd say, well, I'm not going to bother because not everybody's going to respond. So this life of the Spirit, so what, we submit our minds and then our emotions, because we don't want to be led by our emotions, we want to be led by the Spirit. Emotions can be responsive, but also emotions can be reactive. Now, if you're having a great day and you're emotionally you're feeling brilliant and things are up and things are good, you're probably going to have a good response to things. Oh, that doesn't matter. Brilliant. Oh, I'm doing well today. But if you're having a tough time and a tough day and emotionally you're struggling and some more pressure comes your way, then you're probably going to react to things and have a short fuse, get upset, get cheesed off, have a go at somebody or whatever. And therefore, we respond from the level of the soul. Okay? And so for me, I always say, God, I want to submit my emotions. God, I don't want to live by them today. I want your Holy Spirit to be Lord of my emotions. So I'm led by compassion or whatever it might be. Okay? And then there's the will. Your soul has a will. What did Jesus say? Not my will be done, but yours. So Jesus had spirit, soul and body. He was human just like us. But yet he had to submit himself daily to the Father. And he said, not my will be done. I don't want to do my will today, so I submit my will to your will, to the will of the Spirit. What do you want to do? I want you to work through my life, so I submit to you and what you want to do today. Now, to do that isn't just a prayer in the morning. There are choices through the day, because we live, you know, in the real world. And it's not just a prayer in the morning that says, Father, I submit my will to yours, saying it today, everything now is going to be okay. Because there are challenges through the day, aren't there? Stuff happens, things come up, and life happens. And you have to make choices through the day. Okay, Father, I need some help here, because I don't want to react here. I don't want to go off the deep end, And so therefore, it's like through the day, it's a constant submission of our souls to the life of the Spirit. Then we have our body, and our body has loads of natural desires. And the way life is these days, we get stuff pumped at us from every direction. And if you look at all the advertising appeals to the body, doesn't it? It appeals to fulfill everything that you want, buy everything that you want. I mean, it's really appealing to the flesh, isn't it? It's appealing to all of this lot in one go, saying, if you like the smell, buy it. You know, if you want that car, buy it. If you want that washing machine, buy it. If you want this, buy it. Look at these adverts and all the kind of soft porn, really, you have to call it these days, is in quite a lot of adverts. And it's to grab your attention, to get people looking. It's to spark something happening. Because advertising people know if they can get an emotional or some kind of chemical thing going in you to respond to something, to stimulate you to respond in some way, then they've got a hook in you. And so they keep repeating that in different ways. That's how the enemy works. I'll just shove a little thought in their mind, and I'll just try and pitch it in there and see if they'll just hang on to that for a moment. And then if they hang on for a moment, I'll just lob a bit more in there so that I can then just begin to reel them in a little bit, begin to maybe seduce them a little bit. I'm not just talking about sexual stuff, but just stuff that you might want or you might look at. And what you look at then begins to be a bit of a focus. What you focus on begins to birth a bit of desire, and then desire then wants to act. And God has put his Spirit in us to enable his life to flow through our lives. Now, when we, as Christians even, so it's not that when you get saved, this happens automatically. Because sometimes we say, well, actually, I want to do this. And what we actually end up doing is we kind of reverse it and say, no, I'm going to put my thinking there and I'm going to express through my body what I want. And so we crush the Spirit. And we stop the Holy Spirit from operating in our lives. And we say, no, I want to do this in some way. And I want to express that. And so now we might not do it with that kind of attitude, because I don't think anybody in the room would be like, well, stuff God, I'm going to do my own thing. But it's what goes on subtly in our lives, in our heads, in our minds. Now, none of us want to live like that, do we? And one of the things that God's doing during this time is, in terms of link with where we're going and everything God wants to do, he's saying, I want to reproduce who you are. Now, God will always, always, always develop a spiritual people. Because God is Spirit. And he always wants to produce a people of his Spirit. The people of his Spirit are people who are wanting to live clean. The people who want to walk as close to God as possible. People who don't want to quench the Holy Spirit in their lives. But saying, Holy Spirit, I want to submit to you, surrender to you, so that you really are Lord of my life. So that the nature and the character of Christ can really be manifested through my soul and in my soul, through my body, and then out to the world. So if we kind of just put it this way for a minute, we've got the world that comes at us constantly trying to grab our attention, and the enemy along with that wanted to grab our attention, saying, no, act independently from God. You don't really want what God wants. You don't really want what he wants, because that's going to be restrictive. You're not really going to enjoy life. It's going to be tough. And really just do what you want to do, fulfill what you want to do, and just live independently from God. And then you've got God, the other side, and he's saying, this is who I am. And if you walk with me, as we read earlier, then you have peace or total well-being in your life. And in your own efforts, you're not good enough. But that's why Jesus went to the cross, to deal with all the rubbish, the lies and all of that kind of stuff. And when he died on the cross, what he did was he was the bridge between the life of who I am and the life that you're trying to live. And what Jesus did, he bridged that and made it possible for people to get saved. When you respond and get saved, then this is what happens. You're then connected to me, then my life begins to influence your life. And then what flows through your life is my spirit, my nature, my character, my power, my love, who I am, begins to flow through you, out through your body, and then that begins to impact the world. But the enemy's always wanting to try and appeal to something here, or to appeal to something here, so that he tries to separate you constantly from God, because that's who he is. And that's why the Bible talks about being led by the Spirit and being surrendered or submitted to the Holy Spirit, so that when the enemy tries to entice or seduce, if we are being led by the Spirit and we are focusing on the nature, the character of Christ, then there aren't little hooks and opportunities for the enemy to try and hook things in our life to try and begin to drag us away. One of the things for me, a picture that I always use, you know, in the Bible it talks about anointing is the oil of anointing. You know, when something's got oil all over it, it's really hard to get hold of, isn't it? And so I always kind of picture it that when I'm worshiping, and it's like there's anointing, if you like, that is flowing in your life, because God, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. I want to encounter you, meet with you. It's like the anointing, if you like, or the oil of the anointings on your life. It's like, okay, when I respond to your word and say yes to your word, it's like there's oil of anointing that is released in your life. And it's like if I concentrate on that and seek to pursue you in my life, then I become a lot more slippery, and the enemy has a lot tougher time trying to grab hold of me. Because I'm not doing, well, I'm feeling a bit spiritually here, but then I'm giving myself to some things over here. And I'm kind of like, well, I feel a bit bad now, so I better come back over here to get myself sorted out. And then, you know, I'm doing really well, so I'll just slacken off a bit. And the enemy goes, yeah, slacken off a little bit, because then I'll get a hook in you. And there's this constant tension in our lives, isn't there, between, you know, living like this, where the Holy Spirit is really Lord of our lives and all of that, And then the stuff that we just get pumped with constantly in life, and the enticement of what the enemy wants to do through us. So being led by the Spirit is a daily, constant, daily choice that we need to make in our lives. It's not just a one-time thing where you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're now full of the Holy Spirit, and there you are. It's all done and dusted, sorted. This is a constant cycle throughout the day. Decisions that you make, responses that you have to people, to situations, to what comes up, what comes your way. Could be a letter in the post, could be a conversation you have with somebody, a situation at work, something that goes on in the life of the church, and all of that. And constantly we're faced with, am I going to respond here, or am I going to respond here? And if you respond here, emotionally, you're going to be like this, emotionally, all over the shop. And that's when people, when they're responding this well, they say, well, it doesn't work. And sometimes when you do things in the Spirit, there's nothing in you. Like, personally, I don't feel faith. Faith is not a feeling, you know. So is anybody in faith this morning for people to get healed? Now, the first thing that most people in the room do is, well, I don't feel that. So probably not, no. And if we gauge what God wants to do by how we feel, Well, God wants to heal people this morning. Now, some of you in your spirit would go, yeah, come on, amen. Some of you would go, oh, right, well, I don't, you know, because we go by our feelings sometimes. And when God speaks, we need him to speak in here so that we stop living by how we feel. See, faith, what faith does, what the Spirit of God does, it says the Spirit gives life. So before you were saved, you might say, well, hang on a minute, how did I get saved then? If God doesn't speak to this and this, how did I get saved? It says the Spirit gives life. So the Holy Spirit, when you heard the gospel, the Holy Spirit was speaking to your spirit because the Spirit gives life where there isn't any life. And so there was a witness in your spirit because God's word is alive, it's living and active. So his word was beginning to breathe life into your spirit to bring it aware that actually that's true. This thing about Jesus, that's true. God was not speaking into your natural mind. Sometimes God bypasses, when for some people to get saved, he bypasses their natural mind because they're filtering everything. Some people are real thinkers. If you try and bring the gospel at thinker's level, they've always got a reason why it doesn't work or it couldn't work and all of that. So God says, I'm going to bypass that lot and I'm going to speak right into their spirit. Even though it's dead, because my word brings life, I can speak into their spirit and life can begin to take place, and that then supersedes their mind or their emotions or what they're going through. And something on the inside, because my spirit bears witness with their spirit is suddenly going, this is right, this is right. My mind's like, I don't get it, but I know in here what you're saying is right. Now, how many of you had that? And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks. And that's why it's important that we are, each one of us, are people of prayer. When you don't pray, you're basically saying to God, I don't need you, I can handle it. If you don't spend time with Jesus, you don't spend time in the Word, you're basically saying to God, I don't actually need you, I can handle life on my own. Why do we spend time with God? One, because we want to know him. But secondly, it's because it's like, God, I don't want to live in my own effort. I want to live fueled by you today. Because there is going to be stuff today, I might not know what it's going to be, but there's bound to be something happen today where I really am going to need to depend on you to have a right reaction, a right response, treat people in the right way, not get angry, not get cheesed off, not get upset or something, or whatever it might be. Or it's going to be a challenging thing at work, or they give me a new project and I'm like, that's out of my depth. It's like God said, yeah, but if you trust me, then I can give you the wisdom that you need to do what you need to do. Or if you trust me, you can respond to that person in the right way. So, we're born of the Spirit. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But then he wants to lead us by his Spirit. And so, in order to do that, we submit. Now, just the final one, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we need to honour God with our bodies. And I believe that is as much about what we eat and our diets and exercise and as well as what we might watch and all that kind of stuff and the way we are. You know, because lots of people, when they talk about the body, honour God with your body, lots of people end up talking about kind of sexuality and all of that. Now, that's all part of it. But actually, our bodies, we want them to be fit and healthy. And they need to honour the Lord as well in terms of how we eat, how we exercise, how we diet and all of that kind of thing, which is all in there. And because the Holy Spirit wants to express in your mind, your emotions and your will through you, and that's got to be expressed through our bodies. He wants to express the life of Jesus, the life of Christ. I think I said to you probably a few years ago now, God said to me one morning, Clive, you're healthy, but you're not fit. And you need to get yourself fit. And as a result of that, I bought a cross trainer and started to do all of that kind of stuff. And it's not as regular as it was, but I'm a lot fitter now than I used to be 2 or 3 years ago. And in terms of diet, you know, I'm much more aware of what I eat. I mean, I love custard. and crumble and cake and all sorts of things that you can put in. You know, it's nearly lunchtime. But I've, you know, I know if I have that every day, whacking great bowl of things. Every now and then I put custard on my fruit and fibre. It is amazing. It's a spiritual encounter, that is. Whenever I say that to people, people go, oh, it's disgusting. And I'm like, yeah, but how many of you put yogurt on your cereals? I mean, doesn't custard taste so much better than yogurt? Or what's the white stuff that's not very sweet that you put? Yeah, fromage frais. Goodness me. Anyway, that's another story. There's going to be a custard river in heaven, I'm sure. An unlimited supply of custard. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. But in one sense, there are certain disciplines, you know, in terms of how we eat. And it's like anything, yeah, a great celebration and do stuff. But to have a constant diet where you're just gradually kind of going that way and, you know, you're not exercising, that sort of thing. Man, we want to honour God with our bodies and we want to do the right thing with it. And in that way, diet-wise, not, you know, there are some things, obviously, some kind of sexual stuff and all of that. And we're not going to look at that today. But you see, if we're fueling the life of the Spirit in us, then you don't actually want to do the things of the flesh in terms of acting independently from God in your soul and your body together. As we're cultivating the life of the Spirit in us, what that develops is a desire. I want to. Not I should do or could, I'm supposed to, but I want to live in the right way, in my thinking, in my mind, my emotions, my will, my body. I don't want to please myself in that sense. And there's a verse that I found. I don't know, I've written loads of verses in here. Anyway, Jesus says, or it says about Jesus, that he humbled himself. And it's the word self in there. That's what this is, self. And so the Christian life, according to Jesus, if we're going to follow him, then he says we must deny our self. Take up our cross. What is taking up our cross is denying ourselves. Sometimes to be obedient and walk in obedience, the flesh absolutely hates it, wants to do something else. But, you know, when you fuel the life of the Spirit in you, then this begins to rule, even dominate, if we can use that word, rule, what's going on here. And you find this longing, I just want to live like that. I don't want to get into my own thing. I don't know about you guys, but over the last few weeks, since the 10 days of prayer and fasting and stuff, I've just found myself, this just stuff on telly. I mean, I'm not a massive telly watcher anyway, but I mean, I watch Arsenal, and you have to try and stay in the spirit when you watch them at the moment. And but for me, there's just certain things I'm like, I don't even want to think, you know. Like, there's been a few films or whatever, and and it's like, oh yeah, sit down and watch. And actually, in me, I'm like, no, I don't want to watch that. Yeah. There might not be any swearing in it. There might not, but actually, it's like I'm just not. Not interested. Now, it doesn't mean you become prudish and all of that. And you can't say, I can't say to you guys, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. You have to live out the revelation of what God is doing in your life. But if we are pursuing him and wanting to live in the light, you become much more aware of anything that is dark. And as you press on towards the light, you're like, man, I don't want to entertain anything of the dark. Because you're kind of walking more in the light of who he is. And that's really what we're talking about here. The more we live in the light of who the Spirit of God is in our lives, then we don't want to satisfy ourselves in that sense. But actually, it's like, no, I want to live like this, submitted. I don't want to have it the other way around or whatever. So this morning, we're going to take a few moments just to submit, surrender ourselves afresh to the Lord this morning. And there's some things I believe God's going to do while we do that, okay? I believe there's some people here this morning, in your body, you need some physical healing. And as you submit and surrender yourself to the Lord, because one or two people, I believe there's two people in particular, you've been focusing quite a lot on something that needs to happen in your body, and that's taken quite a lot of focus. And God said, now don't focus on that, focus on me. As you focus on me and submit yourself afresh to me, then the life of who I am is going to flow through you in a fresh way, and faith's going to get activated in here to flow through you, and actually you'll find the symptoms go. There's one or two other things here, at emotional level or other levels to do with that, the soul. As we submit ourselves to him this morning, then to the life of the Spirit, the nature and the character of Christ, then it's like he then is enables to flow through our lives and then restores or heals or whatever he needs to do in our lives. Is that okay? So let's stand together, and if we could have... no, let's not have the band up yet. We'll just take a few minutes to pray, really, and respond to the Lord. Now, all of us in this room want to live like this, right? Absolutely. But we know there's a daily challenge to live like that. There's stuff that comes up. And sometimes when we're... So, okay, how many of you know you want to be right all the time? Everybody in the room, okay? So even if you stick your hand up, I put your hand up for you. We all like to be right. And actually, we need to submit that sort of stuff to God. To the Lord. Because we're not always right. Our opinions don't mean a lot to the Lord, you know, because he doesn't want us to have opinions. He wants us to have the mind of Christ and his thoughts on situations, his understanding on situations. But even then, we're not coming from an... So if you're having a conversation about something that's going on in society, God's, you know, God might be saying, this is what I want to do, la, 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 la. But that doesn't mean that we then come with an attitude of, well, I know this and I'm right. And therefore, I'm going to make sure, because that although you might have the mind of Christ, you can still come with it from a soulish attitude, saying, "Oh, I'm gonna, I am right, mate." You know, in that way. So we don't want to come with that kind of attitude, even though we might have some revelation. We want to come with the right heart, and in how we approach situations. So let's just take a few minutes just to pray and just talk to the Lord. Firstly, just thank him that you have been born of the Spirit, that you're not an orphan any longer separated from God, but you've been adopted as a child of God. You're now an heir with Christ and an heir with God, a co-heir with Christ and an heir with God. Just thank him that he has baptized you with his Holy Spirit already. He's given you the power of his Spirit to enable you to live in the way that he wants you to. Just thank him that you're full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, if anybody wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a daily walk. He's always talking about getting saved there. If somebody wants to gain the whole world yet forfeits his soul, what good is that? He's talking about salvation, but he's also talking about a walk, an ongoing relationship with him. And so let's just afresh, just submit our minds to him. Our understanding, our thinking. Some people in the room are stronger intellectually or in their kind of capacity. And you need to submit that afresh and bring it under his lordship. Father, I don't want to live by my own mind, my own opinions, my own understanding, my own level of ability. So I just submit my mind afresh to you. I thank you. You've given me the mind of Christ. And I thank you, you've been transforming me by the renewing of my mind. But I submit to the mind of the Spirit afresh today. Just submit your emotions to him. Father, I don't want to live by my emotions. I've got them, but I don't want to live by them. I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that when I need to be compassionate, you are the Spirit of compassion. When I need to be gentle, you are the Spirit of gentleness. When I need to be patient, you are the Spirit of patience. When I need to love, you are the Spirit of love. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you are the stability in my life. And I thank you that when you lead me according to the Word. And so that's why, Father, I want to submit my mind and my emotions afresh to your Word and the authority of your Word. I don't want to live by my own authority in my own mind and thinking. I want to live by the authority of your Word. So, Father, I just humble myself afresh this morning. I don't want to live going around thinking I'm right all the time. Father, I want to have a teachable heart, a teachable spirit. I want to be a teachable person so that I can grow. I want to correct me when I need to be corrected. Father, use others, though leaders over me, whoever it might be. Father, use others to help correct me, to help sharpen me, to remind me. Father, I'm open, I'm teachable to correction, to training, to being challenged, Father, because I want to live according to your Word. I want to live according to your Spirit. And Father, I submit my will to you. Not mine, but yours, Father. Just submit my will to you, Holy Spirit. And Father, my body is yours, belongs to you. You've purchased me with your blood. And I thank you, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit lives in me, your Holy Spirit. And you've set me apart to be holy. Thank you, Jesus, that I cannot live that in my own effort. I thank you, you've put your Holy Spirit in me to enable me to live the life you've called me to. So, Father, I submit my body afresh to you right now. Father, I ask you to speak to any of us where maybe in our bodies we need to do some things to change our diet or do some exercise, get fit, and actually just honour you with our bodies in a fresh way. Thank you, Jesus. And just submit your spirit now to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I submit my spirit to you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to be Lord afresh in my life so that you can lead me in the way that you want to lead me. Paul talked about your spirit can be contaminated in different ways. And what that means is, say for example, you're negative about something and you don't deal with that. That negativity can become a negative attitude. And it becomes a train of thought, a way of thinking. Now, if you don't deal with that as an example, a negativity, for example, and it continues, that negativity begins to affect other people around you. Now, you know when your spirit starts to get contaminated because other people around you begin to be negative in the same way that you are. So you've now influenced other people. They've now become negative because you've been negative. This is an example. And basically that's what Paul's talking about when he talks about your spirit can become contaminated. Now, the way of dealing with that is to repent. And you repent of that, saying, Father, forgive me for a negative attitude. Now, that's just an example. I'm not saying people might have that going on. You might do, I don't know. But if the way you are, this is in a negative way, in some way, affects other people around you and causes an environment, an atmosphere, that they also then begin to act in that way, then you know there's something going on in your spirit that's not right. Now, the Holy Spirit might need to give you some revelation if that kind of thing is going on. That's more than just a soulish attitude. That's something that's begin to contaminate your... It doesn't contaminate the Holy Spirit, but it can contaminate your spirit. So you've heard the phrase, oh, he's got a real negative spirit. Have you heard of that? And people that don't know Jesus use that. Oh, he's kind of got a certain spirit about him, and he's this, he's that, he's the other. Well, anything like that, we just need to say, Father, I don't want that in my spirit. And so I repent of that, and I thank you that that is broken off my life right now. I am not going to have that, whatever it might be, in my life any longer, a negative spirit or whatever it might be. I'm not having that any longer. Father, I ask you that you would work in my heart right now for that and bring that freedom from whatever that contamination might be. Because I want the life of your spirit to be pure in, or my spirit to be pure in line with your Holy Spirit, so there's nothing contaminating my spirit that's affecting my soul and my body in the way that I live. So, Father, I just surrender afresh right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we all need to do this for a few moments. Father, where I think I'm right, I just choose to humble myself right now. The Bible talks about humbling ourselves. Now, when we don't, sometimes God has to humble us in situations. But I wouldn't want that in my own life, to have to get to that point. I want to respond to God and in whatever way he wants me to before he has to humble me in that sense. And so one of that, I'm right, or thinking that we're right all the time or whatever, I think that's an important thing. Father, I want to submit, because that's arrogance that comes from here. Or it's pride even that says, well, I'm right, you know. Unless somebody convinced me otherwise, I'm going to stick with that. And that stops you from being teachable and open to being corrected or to not being right or whatever. And we don't want to live like that in our lives. That develops a hard heart or a hard attitude. And that impacts other people, begins to buff up against others. And we don't want to live like that if that's going on in any of our lives. So let's just submit that to the Lord and just humble yourself afresh so that you don't think you're right all the time. Father, I want to be teachable, open. I don't want to go around thinking I'm right all the time, or my opinion is the best, or is king. So, Father, I just submit afresh right now. I thank you for a teachable spirit, teachable heart, teachable attitude. I thank you that you find me pliable on the potter's wheel, as it were. You can put your hand down in my life and shape me in whatever way you want to shape me. That you find me responsive and ready for whatever you want to say and do in my life. Father, continue to shape me so I'm a carrier of who you are, so that however you want to pour your life out through my life, that I'm available, I'm ready, whatever shape, whatever that might look like in any situation, that you can pour your life out into others, and that life will be a blessing, that the overflow of what you're doing in me will be a blessing to other people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you now just for people receiving healing, being freed from some physical symptoms that are going on in their bodies. Father, as they've been surrendering, submitting to you, I thank you for physical symptoms leaving people's bodies. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you're struggling with something mentally in some way, the best thing is to say, Father, I choose right now to surrender all of the stuff going on in here, and I choose to surrender that to you right now. I take all those thoughts captive and I submit them to your Lordship right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's one person here, you've had a lot of turmoil going on in your mind because of, I don't know if it's decisions you've been making or a circumstance around your life but there's been quite a bit of turmoil and it's caused you actually emotionally to feel quite heavy and feel like you've got a kind of burden on you. And as you've just been surrendering that, saying, Father, I just give you that right now. I'm going to stop trying to handle it myself. I'm just going to lay that at your feet now. As you've been doing that, it's like something's lifted from your mind. You're going to find emotionally there's a kind of... it's not going to have the effect on your emotions in the same way that it has done. There's going to be more of a stability there, an even keel. But Father, I thank you just for that heaviness leaving right now, where somebody's tried to carry a burden or whatever's been going on there, that confusion, frustration. I thank you for that lifting off somebody's life now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand on our feet. Just turn to somebody else. And I want you just to pray for them for a minute each.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.